I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
You know, every now and again, we'll ask ourselves these existential questions about what's my place in the world, right? So I start with that. What is Montana's place in the world? And specifically speaking, in world trade, a lot of agriculture, obviously, a lot of resources. There's a lot of know-how. I think there's a lot of want-to, a lot of ingenuity in Montana. How do you turn that into something viable that our state can trade and prosper? We are talking about that today in many facets. So we're happy to be joined by Brigitta Miranda Freer. That's Executive Director of the Montana World Trade Center at the University of Montana. And they're hosting a large trade event, the World Trade and Investment Day. That's coming up in Missoula, May 18th. We'll kick off there, but there's a lot to talk about, joined later on by Australian Consul General Nick Nichols and also Laura Fleming. She's president with SRS Crisafulli, Montana's Exporter of the Year. It's a trade day here on Voices of Montana. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. It's just going to be a trade hour. There's a lot to understand. You know, I will look at international agreements, but I can't read them. They don't make sense to me, and it's a very complicated world. But it's not so complicated that Montanans aren't engaging in it, and engaging in it in a very active way. And one of the ways one of the places that Montana turns to look at trade and for export and import needs is the Montana World Trade Center. We're fortunate to have that at the University of Montana. We'll talk about that. Also, a big international trade day upcoming here on the 18th. And then, just get into that discussion about where is Montana's place in the world when it comes to world trade. We'll start by introducing and welcoming back Brigitta Miranda Freer, Executive Director of the Montana World Trade Center. Good morning, Brigitta. How's it going?
Hi, Tom. It's going well. How are you today?
I'm hanging in. Thank you. You have been so busy. I've been working with some of your accomplices, I guess I'll put it that way, to get scheduled here, and you've been here and you've been there, and then you've got this big international day coming up here. Let's start with that, and I imagine all of this activity is associated with that day.
Yes, a lot of the activity is associated with the World Trade and Investment Day that we've got coming up, so thanks for the plug on that. Hey, I actually wanted to circle back to something that you said in your intro, and I have good news for you, Tom. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, I do.
Well, Montanans are already using their ingenuity to create businesses and be able to sell their products and services abroad. You're 100% right that our economy has long been driven by our ag and extractive industries, and those are very important exports for our state. And Montana is now a place that exports all sorts of other things based on our ingenuity, right? So we've got software as a service providers that are exporting their products overseas. We've got photonics and optics firms and biopharma firms. So exciting times for Montana.
Where's the ceiling? Not that we have a ceiling,
this is big sky country.
I know, you're right. Yeah, yeah. Why am I even thinking about a ceiling here? But I guess the question is, when we encourage Montanans to use that ingenuity, not to be discouraged that we're landlocked here in Montana, because this is very much a global economy, and there are avenues for people to really take their ideas to places.
Yeah, absolutely there are. And, I think in particular, when you talk about some businesses like, software as a service, that where you are doesn't really matter for that kind of company, right? They don't have great distances to market. They have to ship their product around the world, too. So that's particularly interesting to me. But, Montana's been good at exporting for a long time, and we've just been able to diversify our base of firms that are successful in that space. And I mean, what does the future hold for us? I hope more and continued and expanded engagement in the global community. And not just because that's, you know, I'm part of an organization that believes in prosperity for all through trade, but because, you know, exporting businesses and businesses that are engaged globally are generally stronger businesses. And actually, some of that information continues to be borne out in the survey that we do annually, our World Trade and Investment Survey, which will be part of what I bring up at our event next week.
Well, I'm going to ask
you a couple highlights.
Yeah, good. I'm going to ask you questions about it for sure.
What we see is that Montana firms that are engaged in international trade are generally paying their employees more than the average wage in Montana. It's about $68,000 a year is what they're reporting. They're able to kind of ride out those cycles a little bit better in seasonality for products and services, and they're just generally more resilient. So, I mean, I don't want to give you all my info, but
what?
I think people will be very happy to learn. I want to bring people next week.
I know.
I think people will be very happy to learn more about Montana's international trade portfolio and how we continue to grow it.
Well, before we welcome Nick Nichols, Australian Consul General, and thank you for lining up some guests here, too, to kind of get into that side of things. Is world trade just for big business?
No. And this is a really important point, especially for Montana. Montana, as we know, is predominantly populated by small and medium-sized businesses.
Very much.
And absolutely, SMEs, that's my abbreviation there.
Okay, I like it.
Small and medium-sized enterprises can absolutely become engaged in doing business internationally. And they can recognize, you know, that they have team members, sort of extended team members that can help them to pursue market opportunities abroad, whether that's Montana World Trade Center, whether that's our friends at the Montana Manufacturing Extension Center or the commercial service offices that are here, or myriad other people that just are willing to jump in and assist and help those companies find the right partners overseas and find success in the long term overseas.
Montana's Exporter of the Year is SRS Crisafulli. The SRS stands for Sludge Removal System. And they have been, I guess I know a little bit about them because I've been in that area growing up, but with Crisafulli Pumps. But they have been an example of a company that I think, you know, you go way back, I think it was 66 or maybe it was the late 60s, early 70s. But they early on started expanding with their services.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good example.
And we've asked, I reached out to Laura to ask her to be a part of this,
she
as
will.
Well as
yep.
Consul General Nichols, just because these are folks that we will feature at our event next week. And it's just so important not to just hear statistics. You want to hear from the businesses that are in the trenches that are doing this every day so you can learn more about what's working for them, what's not, why they do it. So,
Yeah. And so we'll do that. Laura Fleming will join us here in a bit. She's the president of SRS Crisafulli. Why don't you do us a favor and make a warm welcome for Nick Nichols here, the Australian Consul General.
Well, welcome, Nick. Thank you for playing along and joining us today. Nick will be one of a couple different diplomats that will be joining us for our World Trade and Investment Day. And as we know, well, as I know, Australia is an important market, export market for Montana, and we do import products from Australia. We also have foreign direct investment from Australia in our state that we very much welcome. So glad to have Nick on the show.
Good morning, Nick, or good day, I guess I should say. Maybe that's too cliche, but thank you for being here. How are you, sir?
G'day to you, Tom, and g'day to you, Brigida. Thanks for having me on this morning.
How does Montana and Australia pair up?
Well, there's about $20 million of two-way trade between the state of Montana and Australia, so it doesn't sound a lot, but if you look at that trend over the last 10 years, it's been growing. And so any export market, I think, is important for some of the reasons that Brigida mentioned before. you know, the more diverse markets you can operate in, the more diverse customers you have, then the better chance you have of smoothing, you know, some of the rough spots. And so, you know, Montana is an important state for us to do business with. And we also have students, you know, a student exchange. So there are Australian students studying at Montana universities. And believe it or not, there are Montana students studying in Australian universities as well. So the relationship between our country and Big Sky Country is ongoing.
Would you give us a, in general, if you would, Nick, where trade has been for the country of Australia. You know, we other side of the world for us, other side of the day, seasons are completely opposite. You're very much, you know, isolated, I think, to a certain degree. What has been Australia's trade journey, and are there any similarities?
Sure, there's lots of similarities. And you're right, Australia is an island nation, which automatically makes us isolated. So the role of trade becomes even more important for us because we're a population of 26 million people, which is about the 13th the size of the US. But believe it or not, for only 26 million people, we are the world's 12th largest economy. Mm. So we punch well and truly above our weight. So because of the size of our economy, we're a very attractive trading partner because we represent a really sizable market. And Brigida mentioned, you know, the average wages for exporters, exporting companies in Montana. And so, you know, we're a, similarly, you know, we're a wealthy nation. We've got, so, you know, we are a very attractive place to do business with. And so being an island nation, we're also dependent on trade, international trade, because we need, while there are only 26 million of us, we need other markets. We need to be able to sell our products to other markets. But probably more importantly, we need to import products as well in order for us to maintain our lifestyle down there. So that role of two-way trade is absolutely vital. You can't make everything yourself, so you need to be able to import it. And, you know, we have things that people want as well. And I think probably what's most interesting to Montana, the similarities that we have is that, you know, Australia has a very big extractive industries. So, you know, we dig a lot of stuff up out of the ground and we send it all around the world.
I'm going to take a break here and come on back. And I'm going to get into that a little bit more about your trade history, so to speak, and maybe the parallels that we have here or the lessons perhaps that we can learn from that as well. Nick Nichols is with us, Australian Consul General, part of this international World Trade and Investment Day, which is going on in Missoula, May 18th, part of the World Trade Center. Brigida Miranda Freer is Executive Director of the MWTC, and it's mwtc.org. And we'll have more as we explore Montana's place in world trade today on Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Laura Fleming will join us a bit later on, president of SRS Crisafulli, and again, the exporter of the year, according to the Montana World Trade Center, Nick Nichols, with us now, Australian Consul General, and then Brigida Miranda Freer, executive director of the Montana World Trade Center. Again, thank you all for being here. Brigida, I'm going to kind of toss it to you to talk about Nick's going to be a part and again, Sir Nick, thank you for being here, be a part of your investment in World Trade and Investment Day on May 18th. What do you hope that people who are attending that will take away from not only the event, but from what Nick has to offer?
Well, what Nick has to bring, right. Well, you know, each year when we have done this survey, Australia actually keeps popping up as one of the top export markets for our survey participants, which was interesting for me because it's generally not at the very top of Montana's export markets, but the folks that are drilling down and taking the time to do the survey and are serious exporters really like Australia. So I kind of wanted to peel back the layers of the onion there a little bit and just figure out, you know, from Nick's perspective, what he sees happening. Nick, I mean, I'm aware, just looking at the trade stats, about, you know, photonics and optics exports that are coming from Australia coming from Montana, going to Australia. And, you know, I know that even things like wildland firefighting make Australia an attractive market for some Montana firms. But maybe you could comment on some what you're seeing in terms of market opportunity in Australia.
Yeah, thanks, Brigida. I think, as I said before, you know, the strength of two-way trade is that you can fill in the gaps, you know, where you don't have capabilities. And so, you know, Australia, you know, can't create everything itself, so it has to import things. So whether that's products or whether that's services, whether that's talent itself. You know, I'm fascinated by the strength that Montana has created in photonics, and so clearly we have some gaps in there. So that's why we're attracting Montana companies and research projects, collaborative research projects as well. So you know, it's vital that we understand what those gaps are, and that, you know, smart companies will find those opportunities around the world, and we certainly welcome that in Australia.
Hey, Nick, safe bet that, you know, with particularly with a warming climate, that we will see more and more wildland fire. And I know that that is a problem that's faced head on by Australia every year, too. Could you just share a little bit more with our audience about how you manage that in Australia? And are you, in fact, kind of looking to partner with companies outside of Australia to help you tackle that?
Sure. So, you know, global warming is here, and Australia has just doubled down on its commitments to achieving net zero by 2050. And so, you know, everything that we can do, you know, that we have a new federal government been in power for just over a year now. And they've doubled down on the commitments to net zero. And so, you know, in the more immediate aspect of, wildfires that we've had in Australia, we've looked, you know, domestically at our own situation, and we've looked at technologies across the world who will be able to help us mitigate, but also, you know, when fires start, help us, you know, put them out. So, you know, we have been impressed with Bridger Aerospace, for example, a company out of Bozeman. And so, you know, they've got technologies that we're interested in. We're hoping that, you know, they can find some opportunities to bring their technologies to Australia to help us fight fires. You know, one of the attractions, of course, is that we are counter-seasonal. So when it's summer here in Montana, it's winter down in Australia. So, you know, your equipment, you know, in your winters is not necessarily needed up here. So it can be flown down to Australia and in our summer. So, you know, they're the sorts of opportunities that we're interested in managing the fires as they start, and then. As I said, we're taking a longer-term view as well, and hopefully, you know, reducing greenhouse gases so that the incidence of fires and the slowing down of global warming will lead to fewer fires for us that we have to manage.
Under a minute, let's say, because I'll take another break here shortly, but describe what some of the challenges might be. What some of the international rules or whatever could get in the way there. What is the hump you're getting over in this particular circumstance when it comes to fire management and maybe equipment?
Yeah, well, you know, we are a long way away, so you have to get the equipment down there. So there's just some physical, you know, impediments as well. But then, you know, there's the technology that's being used, say, on the Bridger Aerospace aircraft, for example. So, you know, there are patents that need to be protected, and Australia has a very strong rule of law and protection of intellectual property, so that we hope that if people are looking to export their tech, and tech is being employed everywhere, including physically fighting fires, you know, having sensors that can see through smoke and clouds, for example, so you can pinpoint your targets. Those are the sorts of things that where tech is going to help us fight fires. And companies that do come to Australia can be very certain that their IP is going to be protected.
Yeah, I think after this, you might have a question.
Oh,
go ahead.
I was just going to add, Tom, that, you know, on the tactical side for the Montana exporters consideration, you know, when you're talking about photonics and optics exports or a number of different other types of products, if they can have a dual use for military and non-military application, which is the case for products like this, you know, there are some hoops that you do have to jump through in terms of making sure that you have the proper export licensing in place. And I'm selfishly referencing this because one of our trainings that we're going to have at our World Chain Investment Day next week actually is just a regulated export training. So it's baseline. How do you consider the products or services that you have and make sure that they're properly classified and you have the right kinds of licensing to send those products or services overseas?
Thank you for that. I'm going to come back and just quiz a little more, and we'll have just a short period of time about intellectual property, because I know that's something that does need to be addressed, be attended to anyway. Back with more here in just a bit. It's Brigitta Miranda Freer and also Nick Nichols joining us a bit later on. Laura Fleming, who's president of SRS Crisafulli.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Oh my gosh, Cody, did you really play this song? That's a good song. I like it. I like that too, but it's a little cliche. But hey, we are talking with Australian Consul General Nick Nichols, a man down under who's now, he's up over now because he'll be at the World Trade Center Investment. It's actually called the World Trade and Investment Day in Missoula, May 18th. Nick, thanks for being here. Appreciate that. I suppose you get that a lot, right? Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for playing that song. You're making me homesick.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm glad you. That was a great album, by the way. And thanks again. And Brigitta, this segment will go kind of short. I want to ask you, though, Nick, about intellectual property, because it seems like everything now. We're not making trinkets and we're not making sprockets. It all seems to be intellectual property now. So how is that arena giving confidence to explorers in Montana?
Well, you know, our success is built on very strong institutions, and our legal system is highly rated through any objective measures. Our corruption is rated as very low. And our public service, it's something we pride ourselves on, has the ability to formulate and implement really sound policies independently of our executive. So, you know, we're a global leader in the protection of property rights and intellectual property rights as well. So, you know, we pride ourselves on creating an environment that exporters, creators can come to Australia and know that anything that they bring in is going to be protected by law, by the rule of law. They will be able to export their product and know that it will be safe doing that. And as I said, there are any number of independent surveys which will back me up on that.
I have to ask this question too, and I didn't leave you enough time for it, but I know your trade relations with China were a little bit strained a while ago. That had a lot to do with the COVID mandates. How is it now?
Yeah, look, things are beginning to thaw out, and it goes back to my point right at the beginning, is that the reason you have a number of trading partners is so you can smooth out when things get rough. And, you know, the U.S. continues to be a very important trading partner for us. And you know, if things aren't going well in some other part of the world, then hopefully they're going better in other parts of the world. So our trading relationship with China is complex, like it is for most trading countries. So, but it's we hope that that some of the bumps, you know, will be be able to overcome them soon.
Nick Nichols, thank you for your time here, and we'll be back with more. Brigitta Miranda Freer continues, and Laura Fleming from SRS Crisafoli.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
We're fortunate here, the Montana World Trade Center, it's one of about 300, this is worldwide, of these centers, and it's helping Montana in an awful lot of ways. You know, we look at trade here, and 80% of our agricultural products will go overseas. It's a very important part of it. We're talking about that today. Bridget Miranda Freer, Executive Director of the Montana World Trade Center, MWTC.org, for more information there. Their World Trade and Investment Day is May 17th through the 18th, actually, and it'll be in Missoula. You can click on that, MWTC.org, for more information. Laura Fleming has been standing by, and Laura, I appreciate that very much. I didn't realize, and Laura Fleming, by the way, SRS Crisafoli, she's the president there. That stands for Sludge Removal System. I've known Crisafoli's, ever since I moved to Glendive. You started there in 1966, began, I think, right off getting into as much, I think you were one of Montana's leaders in exports with the pumps at an early date, so to speak. And then now you've expanded your offerings. Good morning, Laura. How are you doing, ma'am?
Good morning, Tom. Just fine, thank you.
Yeah, your business has grown an awful lot over the years, and Brigitta is still with us. I won't apologize because you had a connection with Nick Nichols, and I wasn't aware of that, the Australian Consul General who was just on, and you might have had a question for him. I thought these were two kind of separate things, but you're going to be doing some work in Australia, or you're hoping to, right?
Well, no. A dairy farm in Australia reached out to us, placed an order, sent us money, and we are building a electric dredge for their use, keeping their dairy lagoons clean.
Wow. How did they hear about you then?
We always like to ask that question, Tom, and in this case, I actually don't know the answer.
Brigitta Miranda Freer still with us here too, and thank you, Brigitta. I appreciate that and setting up Laura here for us. How do you think that dairy farm in Australia heard about SRS Crisafoli?
Well, I think it's most likely via the internet. We all have these very powerful supercomputers at our fingertips these days, and you know that really has been transformative for a lot of Montana businesses, right? You've got a web presence, you've got a high quality product. People find you from anywhere in the world. So that's my guess. Or, Laura, I'll just take credit for it. I sent him your way. You did it.
Yeah, it was the Montana World Trade Center. But it is pretty useful. How long, Laura, have you been exporting internationally like that?
Exporting internationally. Great question. What comes to mind for me is in the 1990s, we did a large project in Egypt with sludge dredges. And it was government funded. It was USAID project. But that put us into a larger equipment frame of mind. You're familiar with the original Crisafoli pump.
Mm-hmm.
And we evolved the product line over, you know, it's pretty 60 years of history and a lot of time to develop product variations.
And then, and mostly it was, though, a local market. And then it became this, I don't know, in the 90s, you say.
Well, Tom, I think there's always been a strong sales, traveling salespeople have hit the road for.
Yeah.
So taking the knowledge from those ag and extractive industries, and we've developed an industrial equipment toolbox that is in demand. So we work with rice growers in Haiti. We work in the mining sector very globally. Laos, Mali, you know, Suriname. We have a map and we put pins in it, and there's a lot of pins.
Brigitte, let me ask you this. Yeah, but let me ask you this. And then do please. But is SRS Crisafoli, are they a good example, or what about that company is a lesson to be learned for the rest of Montana exporters?
Well, and actually it ties to what I was just going to talk about there. Not only are they building a high quality product, and they've been intentional about, you know, reaching out into markets that make sense for them, and they are well respected within the industry. One of the things that I like, and that Laura just kind of referenced there, is you can incorporate innovations into your product that you learn from other applications, like your customers overseas. How are they using the product? What makes it work well for them? So I think that I like Crisafoli's story for a number of different reasons, not just because sludge removal is sexy, Tom. But
yeah, I know
also,
it.
Also because, you know, they have utilize their export business to help inform their product development, even, you know, and open up other markets in industry subsets in the U.S., right? So I love the way they are incorporating that feedback from their overseas customers to help them be, you know, produce an even more competitive product.
And that's an important point, Laura, because companies that last longer are agile, and they do learn from maybe not necessarily their mistakes, or they do learn from their customers. Go ahead and talk about that process. How do you get that feedback, and how do you value it? And is there an instance where it led to an innovative way of doing things and perhaps new markets?
Absolutely. And if we stay on the Australian theme, we've had a very long-term constructive relationship with companies in Australia, contractors working in the mining sector and the wastewater sector, and they're smart. They're some of our smartest customers. So they, like in Montana, where people are self-reliant and inventive, Australians are also. And we've taken quite a bit of feedback and knowledge from our Australian partners.
Do you worry about intellectual property?
Not very much. It's an iterate, you know, the industry, our equipment industry sector is continuing to innovate, and everybody kind of learns from each other and in a constructive manner, not in an exclusive manner, if that makes any possible sense.
Yeah. No, I get that. What markets are closed to you right now?
Closed?
Well, yeah. Where are you trying to get in? What doors can Brigitte Miranda Freer help you knock down?
Sorry, Brigitte. Well, that's what we'll be talking about next week. That's what we'll be strategizing on.
That's interesting imagery there, Tom. I sound sort of like a bull in a china shop. I mean,
You didn't disown it, though.
Yeah, right. Well, one thing I would say is that SRS Crisafoli, I mean, I don't actually know off the top of my head how many markets you're in internationally, Laura, but it's dozens, right?
Oh, yes. Well,
there aren't many closed doors for them.
I've got the Norwegian Cruise Line, who we've sold product to their Belize operation to try and move incoming sargassum seaweed off the beach, and I've got them kind of harassing us to do it again. And I'm like, I don't.
Wow. Well, are you thinking about that? Are you looking at product development for that?
we need to do some more talking with them.
Okay. Yeah. Well, how long?
It's actually a huge market, I am understanding. I mean, I was just listening to an NPR story about that the other day. Laura, if you can figure that out in a way that makes sense, I think you'll have a lot of customers domestically and abroad. A lot more.
That's right. Yes, the sargassum seaweed problem is very real.
And something I'm really not aware of, so I appreciate that. How often does that happen? Like you get an email from a company in Australia with a very specific need. You're getting another example of companies that have very specific needs. You must have positioned yourself to be someone that they can bring their problems to.
Correct.
Well, how'd that happen?
Quality engineers.
Okay.
Who like to solve problems. Going back to the core knowledge base in Montana communities, for example, in Butte, in the mining sector, and how they've had to manage some of their water issues from the long-term mining activity. Well, that has been very constructive to our ability to serve other areas.
What about this mission statement? And I'm looking at it here, and there's a lot of value propositions here. And I think you list your core values, and you talk about you're responsible to stockholders and responsible as citizens, responsible to those who work with you. How often do you go back, Laura, and remind yourself of your mission statement? And has that been an important part of success?
Tom, that is actually a fairly old mission statement. I would guess it's at least 20 years old.
I would
so,
bet.
We recently did a quality management system audit update qualification with the Montana Manufacturers Extension Center coaching, and we have passed that audit. So we think that we may be one of the most rural manufacturing facilities to be certified for the 9001 quality management system.
Wow.
I haven't proven it, but I'm betting on it.
Brigitte, how important is that?
Having the ISO 9000 or certification that she's talking about there?
Well, yeah.
A little bit for me.
Yeah. And
I mean, I think you want to do anything you can to positively differentiate your firm, right? And that's going to help you succeed in domestic and international markets, obviously. But I do want to just make a comment on, again, underscoring SRS Crisafulli, based in Glendive, Montana, right? So I happen to be based at the University of Montana in Missoula. We serve the entire state. And the firms that are engaging in exporting are all over the state of Montana. So I want to, again, reiterate that, you know, this engagement in international trade, whether you're exporting or importing or receiving investment from overseas to help grow your business, I mean, this is not reserved just for the big cities of our state. This is a place where Montana ingenuity shines, and we've got all different kinds of firms all over our state that are engaged in international trade.
Yeah. And your thoughts on that, Laura, right there in humble Glendive, Montana.
Well, Tom, you know I'm calling in from Connecticut, right?
Right.
I first visited Glendive in the winter of 1982, and I was ice fishing on the Holliker Lake. You've been to the Holliker
Sure.
Lake a few times. Yeah. And I was recreating some personal history. In 1974 was my first trip to Montana. I was summer ranch hand at the Sargent Ranch in Gardner, Montana.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. Time flies.
Well,
Yeah,
go ahead.
No.
Well, I was just, thank you for being on. I mean, I've run out of time here. I appreciate that. Brigitte, any final thoughts here about this this trade day upcoming, the World Trade and Investment event, May 17th to the 18th?
Yeah, just to recap, we will have tactical training sessions in the morning, everything from how to work with a freight forwarder to regulated export training, cybersecurity considerations for small business, importing 101, and then we're going to have an amazing lunch program. Going to fly in John Miller from Trade Data Monitor to talk with us about trends he's seeing right now and make some prognostications. We'll welcome back Nick Nichols. We will honor Laura Fleming, and we are going to have a panel on critical minerals and rare earth that I think is going to be really interesting for folks, because that is an area that can fundamentally change Montana's international trade and investment portfolio. So yeah. Come on around and see us in Missoula next week.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to that too. Laura, thank you so much. Continued success to you.
And thank you, Tom.
And you know, when you get down to Australia, give them a good day for us here, okay?
Amen.
All right, thank you, appreciate that. and Brigitte Miranda Freer too from the Montana World Trade Center. Thank you so much. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks. Take care.